Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Stream it. Yeah, I can't do it. Nose is too weird today. My nose is too snuffly. I was going to give you a little semi-sonic remix. Matt, Clippers host Matt Warren, I know you're listening out there. Wrote us a song, I should say, not that long ago. Streaming time. Excuse me, a show opening burp. Oh, that's good podcasting, Dan. Great work. All right, here we go. It's kind of a weekly preview show, but also mostly geared up towards daily leagues. So this is your streaming half of the Fantasy NBA Today offering for Monday, March the 25th. I'm Dan Vaspris. You guys probably know that by now. But if you happen to be the one new listener, I have to like to assume that there's one every single day. Welcome. Very happy to have you. I'm at Dan Vaspris over on Twitter, DanBesBris. This is Fantasy NBA Today, a sportsethos.com presentation. Hope you guys will check out that website at some point here down the line. And of course, you can hang out with us over in our free Sports Ethos Discord. That link is in the show description, as are the links to our sponsors at manscaped.com and ExpressVPN. As we like to do, I like to begin with the worst schedules of the week so you guys know who should be on your chopping block, and then we'll pivot. Roll from that into the better schedules, either weekly or daily, whatever kind of makes the most sense for you. For those that are watching our video feed, we'll throw up a little two-week cross-section of the streaming calendar available to Fantasy Pass subscribers at sportsethos.com. It's a really awesome tool. I added some color coding for myself. I think it's been kind of useful for folks that are watching along as well. But this is what you're looking at right now. You're looking at a week where, and you can probably see it just as I scroll through, a lot of teams play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Not everybody, but a lot. And that really does color how you're going to be streaming this week, because this, after the last couple of weeks, where you pretty heavily had like 6, 7, 8, 9 game cards throughout the week, now you go into one where it's heavy, light, heavy, light, heavy, light, heavy. That doesn't make streaming easier, harder, whatever. It just makes it different. Different in that, instead of trying to just maximize who's playing on any given day, you know, in previous weeks, it's like, okay, this team has 5 games in 7 days. Bam, there's your go. And frankly, if a team has 5 and 7 even now, you'd probably be walking down that path. But think of it more of like, who has a back-to-back or plays 3 and 4? Previous weeks, it's like, all right, that's a pretty easy call. This week, not so much. Because again, particularly Tuesday through Saturday, frankly, this week is all about which days your guys are playing and not as much about how many games your guys are playing. So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind while I tell you that the worst schedule this week belongs to like 8 different teams. And there are subtle differences between the two, but basically any team that has a 3-game week where 2 of those games are on overload days is your worst schedule of the week. There aren't any 2-gamers this week in the sort of traditional sense, but a bad schedule, meaning a 3-game schedule, going on 2 heavy days, you might only get to use that player 1 time. You might be looking at a 1-game week from some of those dudes if they're kind of near the end. So look, those teams are Detroit, Minnesota, Orlando, Phoenix, Portland, sort of Toronto. They're sort of like a little iffy. Because the Raptors go Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, because like you might not be overloaded on Monday and Sunday, so maybe you can use 2 of them. But as I list off all those teams, the thing I want you to keep in mind is if you have a really good player, it's very different than if you have a fringy player on those rosters, even more so than on previous weeks. Because if you have a really good player, you're going to use them on your overload day. That's not a guy that you're going to drop and say, oh, you know, if I have Anthony Edwards on Minnesota, he's going to actually play all three of the games that I have him for this week. But if you have, what is it, Detroit, Orlando, Phoenix, like what if you have Cole Anthony or something like that? Well, Portland is actually a great example because Portland had a great schedule for like the last 3 weeks in a row, and now their schedule all of a sudden kind of stinks. If you're sitting on Delano Banton in Portland, odds are you might have room to play him today, but he's probably not going to be in your top 10 guys going on Wednesday and Friday. So a fringy blazer this week is really more of a one-game week. Because that player is probably going to be your 10th, 11th, 12th, or 13th best guy on your roster on Wednesday and Friday. And, again, odds are, because those are dozen game days, you're going to have 11 or 12 guys to pick from to start. So you're not going to need your 11th or 12th guy. So a team like Portland that has three games this week really is only like a one-game week. Teams that play on the off days, when I say the off days, I mean the quality days or the light days, however you want to phrase it. No matter how bad the player is, if you're going from a Portland guy who plays one game this week to, say, a Milwaukee Buck fringe player who plays all three times, you're adding two games or more, depending on how you shake it out. The worst schedule of the week, I think, probably belongs to Orlando because they go Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, meaning they do have one light game day on Saturday, but you don't even get their game today. Like, there's not even a game happening today or tomorrow. So not only are you getting basically what's like a one-game week for a fringe Magic player, but you'd have to wait all the way until Saturday to even get a game out of them, where at least with a team like Portland, you can hold through today. You know, if you have a Blazer today, there's no reason to make a move today because they play today. The other bad one in that group would be Minnesota. They also don't play until Wednesday. So your worst schedules belong to Orlando and Minnesota because they're off for 2 days to start the week. I believe they are the only two teams, yes, that are off two consecutive days to start this week and then also pivot into that terrible of a schedule, meaning three games where two of them are on overload days. Again, it's both of them. Every other team in the NBA is slightly better, although I'll repeat it again just for edification. The other teams on that list that have three games, where two of them basically are Wednesday, Friday, are Detroit. We already said Minnesota and Orlando, Phoenix and Portland, and then Toronto, where their other one is Sunday. So you'd want to check and make sure that whether or not that's an overload day for you or not, and also whether today is an overload day for you or not. Your best schedules this week belong to four teams. I believe, personally, if given the option, the best schedule is Atlanta. Yes, they go today and Wednesday, which could be overload days, although I'm, again, assuming that today is not an overload day for you. Wednesday is, so if you have a fringy Hawk, that's a game you probably wouldn't get out of them. But then they go Thursday and Saturday. And the reason I like them as the best schedule is there's a fleeting chance that you could actually use a Hawk for all four of their games this week. And if it's not a streaming decision, if you have like a DeJounte Murray, it's great to get four games out of a team and to be done by Saturday. Because if this happens to be your fantasy finals, you could actually drop that guy on Sunday, although Atlanta does have a decent schedule again next week, so bear that in mind. But they've got two light days, games on Thursday and Saturday. They play today, where you're probably not overloaded, but you might be. I mean, with injuries, it's hard to be overloaded on a 10-game day. It's going to take 11, 12, 13 games typically to get you to maximum overload. So Wednesday is your only one where it's like, yeah, I probably am not going to get to use this guy. So I get three games, at least, out of a Hawk. And you start the week quickly. Two games the first 3 days, three games the first four. Your next tier of good schedules belongs to Milwaukee and New Orleans. We've been talking about this on shows for a while now because this was the type of players you wanted to kind of prepare yourself for because they played on Sunday, so you got to finish out last week. You're not getting games out of them today, so if you're not overloaded, yes, there's a little bit of an annoyance of not getting a game on the first day of the week. That's why I think Atlanta is the better schedule. But Milwaukee, New Orleans play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Both of those teams do. Same schedule this week. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, meaning you're going to get to use whatever player you have on those clubs for all three of their games. There's no risk of overload. Fringy, good, star, whatever it is. The fact that you don't have to consider whether or not someone's getting bumped is great. So full three-game schedule this week for those dudes. That's fantastic for streaming. And the final name I wanted to put on the list of decent schedules is Boston. They go today and then Thursday, Saturday. Not as good, I'd say, as the other ones, because let's say you are one of those teams that has the rare overload going today, so you wouldn't maybe be able to use your Boston Celtic, or they would push someone else out of the board. Having an extra player is just generally not great, but at least it gets you started with the game on the first day. You have a couple days off in there, which, you know, again, you probably would rather have somebody going on Tuesday, so you have to sit through it. But because the Celtics are resting guys regularly and Derek White is actually hurt a little bit and Drew Holiday is actually hurt a little bit more than a little bit, you've got better options on Boston than, say, Atlanta or New Orleans or Milwaukee, where your best streaming options are probably Larry Nance, Bruno Fernando, if DeAndre Hunter is on the wire, Malik Beasley, if he's floating around out there. Some of those guys, I mean, odds are Larry Nance, of the names I just said, is, and Bruno Fernando are probably the only ones that are available. At least with Boston, you probably were able to pick up Peyton Pritchard during their 5-7 a week and a half ago. And so you have a pretty good streaming guy that you could just hold through it. And that actually takes us to the last part of the discussion, which is what are the names on this board? And I think we just talked about them. For Atlanta, Bruno Fernando is on the board. We know Jalen Johnson is out for most of, or maybe all of, this week. So that's creates a little bit of an opening for someone like Garrison Matthews. Not super thrilled about it, but possibly usable. Vit Krejci, who doesn't do very much, but again, in four games, possibly you'd get something out of it. For New Orleans, Larry Nance, Najee Marshall, and Jose Alvarado are the two sort of lower options on that team. For Milwaukee, Malik Beasley's the upper option. The lower options would be like Pat Connaughton. I doubt Portis is out there, but he would be an upper option also. Pat Connaughton, Patrick Beverley, Jay Crowder would be sort of like the lower tier for Milwaukee. And then Boston, your upper tiers would be Peyton Pritchard and or maybe Sam Hauser. And then the lower tier would probably be Luke Kornet. Guys, I assume that Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford are all going to be in for the Celtics for these three games. But if anybody misses some time, then Kornet would get a little bit of a bump there as well. Quickly, I want to pivot over to the chat room, see if anybody has some names. I know a few of you threw some names in our earlier show today, and I said, hey, throw them in the streaming show, and we'll talk about them over there. Hey, Shark Attack says, new listener here. Awesome. Happy to have you, bud. Please like and subscribe. That goes for all of you new listeners who haven't posted in the chat room. Hey, Dan, I'm in my semis. I need to see if you would drop either Deuce McBride, Trey Mann, Keon Ellis or Desmond Bane for Alex Caruso this week. I'm not really sure what for. Sacramento goes back-to-back to start the week, so absolutely not on dropping anybody for the Kings, especially with, you know, the back-to-back being on 2 days where you probably get to use that player. Knicks, Hornets, and Grizzlies are the other ones. Memphis's schedule is not very good, but Desmond Bane is good enough where if he plays, and you'll know more by the end of tonight. Like, if he's ruled out tonight and the best you get is a two-game week, you could probably pivot off of him. Knicks have a four-gamer. It's just like Caruso. I can't get on board with the idea of making a move just to switch what player you have as opposed to how many games they're getting. And we know with Caruso, he tends to play himself into an injury every once in a while, so probably not is your answer there. Although I do like Caruso much more than I like Trey Mann in Charlotte. I just don't think I'd use a move unless I'm gaining games played. Cade Cunningham just got ruled out, by the way, in the middle of our show here, and we got some other... Jalen Duren is out again. Simone Fontecchio is out again. Alex Caruso is questionable, so again, that's a reason why you'd probably want to be a little bit careful. So Detroit, bad schedule, but at least you've got like a James Wiseman. Congratulations, James Wiseman streams. Let's see what else we got going here. Is JJJ a play this week? Finals weekly lock. Oof. Memphis plays three playoff teams this week. So I think Jaren Jackson's going to try to play in all three. So I'm going to lean towards yes. But, oh man, that makes me nervous to say it. I'm going into my first round of the playoffs without Jalen Johnson and Donovan Mitchell. Kelly Olynyk and Alex Caruso are my waiver streamers. Any advice? You might have to drop Jalen Johnson. Can't drop Donovan Mitchell. Would you rather play Santi Aldama this week or Naz Reid? Both teams with bad schedules this week. Minnesota, two overload days and Sunday. Memphis, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. I probably go, this is going to sound insane, but I'd probably go Aldama because at least you can get a game out of him today and definitely a game on Saturday. And for Naz Reid, I mean, yeah, he probably is inside your top 10 guys on Wednesday, Friday, but you probably don't lose a game played there, meaning you potentially would only lose one game by moving off of Naz Reid. Sucks. I hate it because he's the better option, but you're probably going to get two games out of Aldama versus one of Reid if you wipe out the overload days. That's the way you kind of think of it in your mind. If you have to use a roster move to switch it, I'd say no. I wouldn't use a roster move to abandon Naz Reid, but if you have both and that's the choice you're making, that's the way you go. Do you like Peyton Pritchard or Sam Hauser over Najee Marshall this week? Yes. Yes, I do. Just better fantasy numbers. Hold Aldama after today and drop Pritchard? No. I think I'd rather have Pritchard for the injury stuff, and then also because, again, with Boston, you dodge overload days. Probably get three full games out of them. So I would lean to Pritchard there. Why would you drop Pritchard? Yeah, that's their... Yeah. Do you think DeAndre Ayton plays? I have Jalen Duren and Simone Fontecchio in my IL+. I would lean towards no, but I really don't know. And he's certainly better than Simone Fontecchio. I think Fontecchio is the guy you probably have to drop there because we have no timetable on his return and he's already been ruled out. I have three ads for my league. Should I use two of them in order to get Pritchard, Hauser, Horford for those quality games on the low volume days? Honestly, the answer is probably... Or it depends, T, on what your schedule looks like for today. If you're overloaded today, don't further the overload. If you have like nine guys going, I would use one move today. Fill up your schedule today. Pick up Pritchard. Great, you have him for the two quality days later in the week. But don't use moves on the other guys because then you're just blowing up the first 3 days of your week with players you're not going to get to use. So in that case, you wait until tomorrow. See what's going on Tuesday. Maybe make some moves on guys tomorrow. If ultimately you don't need to, then fine. You could wait and do the Boston stuff on Thursday. But I would say go. It's based on how many spots you have open to use today. Good questions, everybody. Good streaming questions. I want to keep this thing under 20 minutes, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Look for me on the ITL, the In This League Network, today. Very excited to be doing a show with Jesse Severe over there, Dynasty Sports Podcast on the ITL Network. That should be a lot of fun. We'll talk about some of the silly season guys. And I couldn't figure out how to get Ryan Ward's clip into today's recap show, but fear not, we'll be talking with Ryan. It's a great interview that he and I recorded at the end of last week. That'll be in probably tomorrow's show, midweek at the absolute latest. I don't want to make that sit on the back burner for too much longer here as well. So big thank you to Ryan. Big thank you to Jesse. Really looking forward to being a part of that. And should I drop Zubats for Najee this week? After today, maybe. Because after today, Zubats, you'd probably just get to use his Sunday game. And after today, you could get three out of someone on the Pelicans. And three versus one usually wins out. I know Najee Marshall's not putting up much in the way of numbers, but usually that wins out. And that is our last question for today as we hit 19 minutes and 50 seconds over on YouTube and probably right around that same mark after I edit in some music on the traditional pod side. Big, big thank yous to all of you that listen to all of our shows these days. We're doing as many as we can to try to get you guys to the finish line. I know I couldn't do any this weekend because it was largely related to my kiddo's fourth birthday. Gotta do family stuff, folks. And you guys met him. Theo came on the show on... on Friday, right? Wasn't he on the Friday show? That was fun. He sang Britney Spears into the microphone. All right, everybody. Have a great day. I'll talk to you over on Twitter, at Dan Vesperus. And welcome. Thank you to those that are listening for the first time. It's really cool to have you. Later for now.